And today I want to speak about honoring God. About honoring God, yeah? And it's great to be honored. It's great to be honored and to get recognition for different things. It's totally cool. And where it's deserved, it's brilliant. The best form of honor is that which we can give to God, yeah? It's that which we can give to God. And before we look at his word, come on, we'll pray together. Lord, we bow before you today. Lord, we look to you as we come to your word. We realize that this is the book of transformation. Lord, this is the book of direction. It's the compass, Lord. It's also the level, Lord, that gets things straight in our lives. Lord, it brings all sorts of transformative change in our lives and brings hope to the hopeless. It brings food to our soul. It brings just so much, but it also is your authority, Lord, over us. And Lord, as we open it, we come under it, Lord. We submit to you afresh today. As you come, Holy Spirit, and bring this word to life, we are aware that there's things maybe we need to hear today, that some things that we want to hear, maybe things that we don't want to hear. But whatever you want to say, not Stuart or any other man or our own imagination, whatever you want to say today, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And bring your kingdom here afresh in Mintlaw as it is in heaven, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when we speak about honoring God, a picture or a example that God gave to me a number of years ago that I think anyway is really effective, so I'm going to use it, is that of stewards and stewardesses on aeroplanes. Yeah, I think they're a great example of what it is to serve, and what it is to represent well, yeah, what it is to be an ambassador. And so if we're going to get a good representation of what it is to be honorable and to provide great service, I think there's a very good example to be found in stewards and stewardesses. There's a few things that are just going to fly past really quickly as we think about a steward and a stewardess. And the first one is, you know, they might serve you, but ultimately they're serving the airline, yeah? They're serving their airline. They're doing a job, aren't they? Yeah, but to do that effectively, they do it in such a way that you, if they're really good at their job, you know, like British Airways are in the press today, I believe, so maybe they're not so popular, you know, but maybe some of the high flyers, pardon the pun, of the air industry today, like Emirates and such like, yeah, when they're really good, they're really sharp, you know, they make you feel like they're there just for you. They make you feel like whatever your need is, they're there to meet it. That you might have a safe and satisfactory flight, ma'am. Yeah, that you might give them rave reviews, because that's a big thing in today's world, isn't it? That when you've completed the journey, that you might go onto the internet and say, oh, what a great flight, great time, and you know, great service, and very comfortable, and X, Y, and Z. Because what does that do? It propels other people, or compels other people, to come and fly with that airline as well, yeah? So they make you feel like you are special, but in actual fact, they're not really doing it for you. They're doing it for the airline. They're doing it for the airline, yeah? If it was just about you, then it would maybe just be you that came back again. But they want to push further, beyond you, leave such a mark, an impression upon you that you feel compelled to tell other people. That happens with restaurants, doesn't it? Yeah? You know, there's a certain place, it would be a stretch to call it a restaurant. There's a certain establishment opened up in the edge of Peterhead in recent years, and every single person that I know that has said anything about it hasn't said something positive. You maybe know the place that I'm talking about. Every single person has had a negative thing to say about it. And you know what that's done for me? You think that's made me feel like I should go there? I've been there once, yeah? Because every person is painting this negative picture, yeah? You see, what kind of impression do we make upon people when they come into contact with us? Do we make them feel like this is an eatery that I'm not going to come to again? I don't think I want to dine on what you're feeding me ever again. In fact, it makes me feel sick. Or are we serving up delicacies? I know it's maybe a bit of a stretch. Yeah, but are we putting a plate before them? Are we whetting their appetite? Are we giving them something to chew, something them that makes them think, something that somehow or another makes them want to come back for more? The Bible, speaking of Jesus, says that he offered up his life as a sacrifice, as a sweet-smelling aroma unto God. Yeah, when he gave his life for you and I upon the cross. And I love that thought. Yeah, I love that thought of the worship of Christ, if you like, because, you know, again, you know, we maybe think that first and foremost, Christ came and died on the cross for you and for me. But you know, that's not actually the case. First and foremost, he came and died on the cross to honor his Father. Did you know that? Yeah, he said it, didn't he? He says, I came to do my Father's will. This is my bread. Yeah, this is my staple diet. This is my food and drink. I've come to honor my Father. But the primary way, the fundamental life-changing way for all of creation that he could do that was to lay down his life for you and for me. Yeah? So does that mean, hold on a minute, so we're a side issue? We're just a, no. Of course, God genuinely loves you and I. It was Jesus himself that said that God so loved the world. Yeah? Hello? You're there this afternoon? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, that was Jesus talking of his Father, but Jesus also said this, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. He wasn't talking about appearance. He was talking about spirit, about heart, about will and agenda and so on and so forth. Yeah, so God loves us with an everlasting love, and that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are wholly committed to each and every one of us. Being no doubt about that. But the primary purpose of Christ coming to this earth was to fulfill the will of the Father, was to honor the Father's desire that none should perish, and the Father's will that none should perish, but all would come to repentance and find salvation. And likewise, this is what we see with the airline. We're made to feel, if you've ever been fortunate enough to fly in an airline such as British Airways, yeah, that you're made to feel in a way like they are just there for you. In actual fact, they're there for their pay. Yeah. In actual fact, they're trained efficiently to make you feel that way so that their company gets people coming and booking in with you. Likewise, we must carry that characteristic in our lives as Christians. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that we must do everything for God's glory. So we serve man at times, you know, in our jobs. We honor our teachers in school. We serve our family members and people in society and all other things that we do. But the Bible says everything we do, we must do unto him. Yeah, we must do as an act of worship and service for God and for his glory. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, so here's the second thing that I observe about these stewards on the airplane. And, you know, they realize if they're going to obtain this objective, yeah, if they're going to make you come back for more, or at the very least, make you feel compelled to tell other people about their pleasurable experience, then they realize, you see, that this might be their only bite of the cherry. They realize that this might just be a one-way journey. They get one shot at it, one opportunity to serve you and to make you feel like you're the best, to give you the best journey possible. They get one shot at it. It could well be that you're going to be back again, but they can't take that liberty. As they say, first impressions count, but so do the last ones, don't they? Isn't that true? It's not just the first encounter or first experience you have with someone that maybe draws you back, but what of the most recent experience that you have of someone and how they've served you? That leaves its mark as well. So they have to carry a high level of professionalism. And they have to be very courteous, very patient, very understanding, and bend over backwards as much as possible to facilitate your every need. Likewise, again, Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I love how that feeds into one of my favorite verses in Ephesians 5, 15, 16, which says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. Yeah, it's almost like time's escaping you. That's what the scripture is saying to us there. You know, time is running away from us. It's escaping us. And with it go the opportunities, yeah? You know, you've been on this flight for an hour and a half. And maybe you haven't had the chance really to make that passenger feel like they're the best person on the plane, but there's still 20 minutes, yeah? So you could almost like park into 20 minutes what you could have done in the whole journey. You know, make that impression, make that moment count, and give it an impression and a service that will make its mark in the heart and the mind of the customer. Well, you see how that parallels with us, don't you? Yeah? I think so often in my life, I'm very casual, I'm flippant. You might not think that. You might think I'm forever just like bing, bing, bing. And you know, on the go, seizing every moment, every opportunity. Nothing could be further from the truth. Often I'm like that, but oftentimes I'm horizontal. I just want my own space. I want my own time. I want it when to hide away. I get tired as well, you know, it might surprise you. But I do, yeah? And many of us can be like that. But what if that tiredness is actually apathy? What if spiritually we become tired, we become apathetic, and there are needs and there are opportunities that are ours to take, that are ours to step up and meet by the grace of God? Yeah, it's our opportunity, it's our moment. We need to redeem that moment. We need to step up, we need to step in, and we need to love with the love of God as Christ has loved us, because we may only have one shot at it. We might just have one shot at it. And do you know that you're an ambassador for God? You're an ambassador for God. These guys, when they step down the aisle of the airplane, they're not just doing a job. They're not just stewards or stewardesses. They're ambassadors for that company. They are the face, as we would say, the public face of British Airways. Yeah? And it works like that, doesn't it? Oh, I'm not booking with British Airways again. They're a terrible airline. Oh, why do you say that? Oh, that man was so rude and unkind to me. But hold on a minute. It's just a man. How many people work for this organization? But you know, because of that one encounter, that one experience, that's how we function, isn't it, sometimes? Yeah, the whole company is written off. Yeah, because he put garden peas instead of the mushy peas on your plate. Yeah? That's not what I asked for. Yeah? And that's it. It's written off. It's written to the whole company. I'm not flying with them again. Yeah? Listen, you see how the world can be like that with us? Yeah? How quick they are to jump onto the place of, they're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You know? Oh, the way he treated me, the thing that she said. They were going to do this and they never did. Don't take condemnation upon yourself because of the unrealistic expectations of people. But we have got a standard to keep up, haven't we? We have got a responsibility before God and before men to walk as ambassadors in this world to shine. The third thing about these stewards and stewardesses is that they recognize again that these customers are not numbers. They treat them as important. And likewise, as Christians, we should see through the same lens the people around us in this world and in our families, in our workplaces, that people are precious. Yes, we are precious. Yes, we are privileged. We've been loved by God, bought with a price, the blood of Christ. But do you think that the people around you are any less important, even though they're still outside of the family of God? No, they are equally important. The only difference is that we are now graced for eternity, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed with that promise. They are lost. In some respects, in this life at least, they are more precious because they are like that precious pearl that Jesus spoke about, the pearl of great price. They're like that sheep that's wandered. And Jesus illustrated that he was prepared to leave the 99 in the pen to go in pursuit of the one that was lost. So the word of God would say to us in Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Must take a lot of patience to be an air steward, eh? My goodness. Andre was looking to be a bus driver. And I said, oh, Andre, take a lot of patience to be a bus driver. My goodness. I know what I was like on buses. I don't know about you. And you feel for them, don't you? You feel for people in jobs such as that. They have to deal with some awkward customers. But so do we, don't we? Or is it just the pastor? You know, in life, as Christians, you know, with the best of hearts and desires, wanting to serve God and bring the light and love of God into people's lives, we face opposition at times. We face challenges through people in various ways. But that's not given us the right to bring some kind of carnal reaction. No, we have a responsibility before God to walk in the character of Christ and display the fruits of the Spirit. Sounds easy, you might say. You're not having to deal with this. You're not having to deal with that. But Christ is enough for me. Amen? Christ is enough for me. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah, so regardless of trials or circumstance or what people might do or say, we can't say, oh, well, they did this, so I had to do that. No, we have a new nature. We have a spirit dwelling within us, the same spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the grave. So help me with this, you might say. How do I do this? How do I walk aright? I know the Spirit's there, but how do I do the right thing in the test and circumstance? Well, again, the Lord would say to us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So it's like that phone. It's the modern example that we would use is the mobile phone, if you like, submitting itself to the charger. Saying, okay, I know all that I need to do, but of myself, I cannot do this. And it allows itself to be connected to the charger for a time. As the Old Testament would say, long before the times of mobile phones and charger leads, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up in wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Hallelujah. So the answer is to wait upon God, to draw back, to pray, to ask Him for patience, to ask Him for compassion. Allow your nature, Father, to come to the fore that I might be the representation of heaven that this person clearly needs right now. Because, Lord, without you, not only can I not do what I know I need to do, without you right now, I'm in danger of being something I don't need to be. I'm in danger of saying something that they certainly and you don't need me to say right now. Lord, I need you. The humble, contrite cry of the heart will always be met by the grace of God. There's another in the fire, you see. And he's standing with you. He's standing with you in the trial, in the opposition, in the temptation. There is always a way out. And his name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. It reminds me as we're singing that song of Daniel, you know. The Bible says of Daniel that he was a man of an excellent spirit. He was a man of an excellent spirit. He was a man that embodied God. Yeah? He honored God in his ways, in his decision-making and choices, even when it came to the fiery trials or the lion's dens. This guy threatened with death if he bowed down to honor his God. And in opposition to the laws and rules of carnality, he took the line of worship to his God. He wasn't afraid to stand for what was right because he was a God who knew. He was a man who knew a God, even in the midst of the fire, even in a lion's den. He knew he wasn't alone, and he knew what it was to honor God. He knew what it was to stand and to be an ambassador for him. But the thing I wanted to focus on as we draw to an end today is, yes, obviously we've got these responsibilities. Yeah, we need to make the world thirsty, if you like, try and draw them into relationship with Jesus, into at least a journey of adventure where they inquire of God, where they seek after him with all their hearts. I want to remind us what an honor it is to actually be a steward or a stewardess. Yeah? What an honor it is. You know, stewards get to sit right up front near the captain. Yeah? You know, you think about an aeroplane. We've used this analogy before. You know, that when the Lord saves us, we get a seat in that plane and we think, whoa, this is a life. I'm on the kingdom plane now. I'm no longer down there in the miry clay. He's redeemed me. He brought me forth by his righteous right hand, and I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Woo! Hallelujah. And we start singing more hallelujah choruses. But as we start to grow in God, God starts to call us out for more. And we come to a realization, hold on a minute. I actually wasn't saved to sit here in economy class. Yeah, there is a life of destiny for me. There is a purpose for me in Christ Jesus. And it's beyond that curtain. It's called first class. It's called first class. And some of you need to realize that there's more than salvation. There's a purpose for you in this life. But I need you to see something here today. There's something better than that. There's something better than first class. And it's called being a steward or a stewardess. Because it's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve. Ephesians 2 says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should work in them." He's taken us again. It's a picture of what I've been saying in the last 10 minutes. He's taken us from the miry clay. He's seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And now the more we grow in Christ, the more we begin to realize this and appreciate this, it should bring forth a response that is more than a song on a Sunday. Yeah? It should bring forth a response that is worship of spirit and in truth. What does it look like? Jesus said that's what the Father's looking for in the last days. They that would worship in spirit and in truth. And yeah, it can't be reflected in our singing, if you like, on a Sunday, in our service on a Sunday. But it looks like this. It looks like mercy in the face of an overbearing co-worker. Yeah. It looks like patience. in the face of a road-raging white van driver. It looks like grace in the face of the lost and the broken in their unpleasant and unthoughtful statements. It looks like Jesus. That's what it is to walk in spirit and in truth. It's to put our money where our mouth is. Yeah? It's to put our money where our mouth is. It also looks like this. I was reading this again the other day about integrity. You know, it's doing what you say. It's being who you say you are when nobody's there to see you. I say that again. Integrity is being who you say you are when nobody's there to see you. Yeah? Jesus touched on this when he spoke about the aspects of prayer. He spoke about the aspects of giving. He spoke about not being like the religious people who wanted to be on the street corners to be seen by all people and, you know, the big, long spouting prayers. You know, that's okay in a sense, but Jesus said that's not where the rubber hits the road. You know, where you put your money where your mouth is when you bow the knee when nobody else is there. When you close the door, when you go home and you close the door and shut the world away and it's just you and me, will you pray then? When you spend time with me, will you call on my name when nobody's there to hear you but me? Will you lift your eyes to heaven? Will you look for me? Will you open your heart to me when it's just you and me? Because that's where the rubber hits the road. Will you honor me? Will you honor me? When there's nobody else in sight. You see, he's called us not to economy or business class, but he's called us into the ranks of servanthood. What an honor. What an honor. What a privilege is ours. We asked at the outset about different honors we may have received in life and due respect, some great things. But there will be no greater honor that will ever be bestowed you in this life than to be given the privilege and opportunity to be a child, an ambassador of God in this broken world. It's the greatest honor of all. The greatest honor of all. That we can stand and speak of him who shed his blood for us on Calvary's tree. That we can point other people. We've got the easy leg, folks. We've got the easy leg. You know, have you ever seen these relay races and the really good teams, the first three have went out and they've bust a gut to set it up for the last guy who streets in head of all the rest of the opponents, because the guys did the donkey work. Yeah, they did the hard shift and set them up just to jog in. Have you ever seen a race like that? And you know, they're almost at a canter. Yeah? Spiritually, that's a foreshadow or a shadow or a type of what has been done for us in a far more serious and far more significant reality. And that Christ gave his life. Greater love has no man than this, than he who laid down his life for his friends. And yes, he calls us to follow him. Yes, he calls us to lay down his lives, but not upon an old rugged cross. And not in this nation. In some nations of the earth, that's what's called of some of our brothers and sisters. That's what's required of them. Experiences such as Daniel had. Yeah? But it's not the experience that you've to give an account for. It's your spirit within the moment. Within whatever the experience is that you're brought to. More likely again to be the challenge of a co-worker. The tension, the tense moment within the family unit. The moment of temptation when nobody else is there. The aggravated customer in the business in which you're involved. Or whatever it may be. What will you do in these moments? God's looking for ambassadors. He's looking for stewards and stewardesses that are going to make people give rave reviews when they get off that flight. And no sooner have finished than they're online booking their next journey. That's what he's wanting from you and from me. You see, as good as sitting in first class is, this is so much better. There's a danger There's a danger with the blessings that come our way as Christians that we become fixated and comfortable with the blessings, so more happy with the blessings than we are with the blesser himself. Yeah? We first class, again, is a picture in my mind of sometimes when we begin to pursue God's will and purpose for our lives and begin to get a taste at least of that, then there's a kind of blessing that comes with that, aside from our, you know, our salvation. And perhaps that could be, you know, playing a guitar up front in church or, you know, pioneering that new ministry or whatever. And you start to get a little bit of attention and a bit of praise. And if you're not careful, that can become self-worship. It can become almost an idolatrous thing. And you become more satisfied with position and opportunity and the things that were meant to be a blessing than the blesser himself. And a subtle thing happens. You see, God becomes number two. And even the stuff of church, good stuff, goes to the top. A little unhelpful shift takes place in the heart. And Jesus warned us in this way. He says in Matthew 6, he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure in earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." I love that verse where it says, I'd rather be, you know, a housekeeper or a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than spend 1,000 days elsewhere. You understand the sentiment of that verse, yeah, in relation to what I've just been speaking about. You see, not only is it an honor to serve, it's a very healthy thing to serve. It's a very healthy and helpful thing to keep a heart of servanthood and not to allow any blessings that come along the way to entrap our hearts in an unhealthy position, yeah? We are, unlike the stewards and the stewardesses, we're not in it for the pay. We're not in it for the potential promotion or the rave reviews that might come from the customers. We're in it for the glory of God. Amen? And if there's pay, I thank God for my pay. I don't know about you. You know, and if there's pay, if there's encouragement, if there's other blessings that come along the way, then great. But be honorable, church. Be honorable. Most importantly of all, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. We're nearly there. Colossians 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Now listen to this. It says, "Put to death," and speaking to the church here, yeah? "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus says, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you bear forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Philippians says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Are you a steward or stewardess that's on that plane in the sky that's shining for all to see on that plane? You know, who's on your plane? I don't know. The people in your world, in your home, in your school, college, workplace, neighborhood. Who are the people that come into contact with you on a day-by-day basis or an occasional basis? The Lord wants us to shine before them. And so often, church, we've been satisfied with pulling out a uniform that's been worn all last week. It's not even had a wash. We've been satisfied with a uniform that's creased and stained. Yeah, a uniform that once upon a time, remember that when you were a child, once upon a time, can I tell you about once upon a time? Once upon a time, there was a man who was so overjoyed at the grace of God that he took his uniform as a steward and he put it on with such pride and honor. And this young man, he stepped up to lay down his life in servanthood for the one who had loved him with an everlasting love, even to the point of death. And he laid down his life in service and he put on his uniform day by day and he polished that badge as he put it on and served with such honor and dignity, patience and mercy and kindness, gentleness and love before all people. But there came a day that that man began to wonder in the ways of old. There came a day that that man became more affectionate with the things of this world and caught up with the trappings, even the blessings of God that came his way, gaining a place in his heart and life more prominent than even God himself. I've been that man. Have you been that man? Have you been that woman? Are you that man or that woman today? We need to come back again to remind ourselves, not only have I been given a seat on this plane, I've been given the privilege to serve in kingdom here. Not just, hello, a child of God, but an ambassador for Christ. A servant of the King of Kings. We've got people in society today that are peddling abuse, that are peddling drugs, that are peddling lies, that are peddling all sorts of rubbish and unhelpful stuff out there. We've been given the privilege to be the peddlers of grace, to be the peddlers of good news, to be the peddlers of love, to be the ambassadors of Christ and windows of heaven itself. We have to give ourselves a pinch, church. We have to give ourselves a pinch. Remind ourselves that once we were dead, as we've read today, in our transgressions, lost, and we've been scooped up by the merciful right hand of God, brought into his bosom, and now his banner over us is love, love, love. And being stirred in that remembrance again, we need to step up once again and say, Lord, will you iron my uniform? You know that the Bible says that Christ's coming back. You know who he's coming back for? He's coming back for a bride that is without spot or blemish. How's your uniform today, church? How's your uniform? It's an honor to serve. There's a song, it was written a number of years ago, and it was actually written about serving in the American military and a service being an honor to God. And Leah, if you could come up and get ready, please, for that closing song, that would be much appreciated. Thanks, Daniel. And it goes like this. It says, it's an honor to serve, to stand up and fight. I will lift up my voice. I will lay down my life. Giving glory to God and seeking not in return. It's an honor to serve. Yes, it's an honor to serve, to stand up and fight. I will lift up my voice and I will lay down my life, giving glory to God, seeking not in return. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor for you to stand up and fight. Let's stand if it is today. It's an honor to serve, to stand up and fight. I will lift up my voice and I will lay down my life, giving glory to God and seeking not in return. It's an honor to serve. It's an honor to serve.